I really love worship. Isn't that a powerful song? Is it a song we sing with our lips? Or is it a song that we sing with our hearts? Because the way you sing it will change your life. If you're singing that song with your lips about revival, gathering around the presence of God, seeking Him, desiring to do His will, to see His purpose come through, then you'll sing it with your lips and you'll walk out and it'll make no difference to you. And you'll live and continue as you are. If you sing it with your heart, then your perspective, your opinions, your life will be changed. The cost of singing a song with your heart is high. To sing it with your lips is low. The cost of grace is high. The cost of grace cost God His only Son to die upon the cross for us. And He offers that to us today as a gift. And what do we do with it? Do we take that precious gift, that pearl, and throw it back in His face? Or do we bow down before Him and weep and say, God, I'm not worthy, but You have made me worthy through Jesus Christ. Because I don't stand on my own weight, I don't stand in my own goodness, I don't stand in my own hope, but I stand in Christ alone, because He is my hope, He is my grace, He is my foundation. And as we prayed over the past 5 days, we're now on the sixth day of praying and seeking God. God's been speaking to us, and that's uncomfortable. Because when God starts to speak to us, He starts to say, well, actually, what I want to do is clear things out, unblock things, change things, change lives, heal hearts, renew hearts, bring new dreams and visions and hopes. I want to inspire you to live for me and to pay the cost of being a disciple for me who transforms and changes the world as my presence inhabits you and comes through you. And one of the words that I want to share was quite prophetic, and it says, the wells in this place and in your own lives that are contaminated with debris and stagnant water, it is no longer fresh. You have forgotten what pure fresh water tastes like. Unblock the wells and let them overflow with fresh, life-giving water that will draw others to the source of the well and restore their lives. My water will bring life to this barren land. If it will bring health, bring joy, bring freedom, and release the thirsty. The thirsty will be satisfied when they drink from this well I have dug in this place. If only you will allow my water to flow and guard the wells I entrust you with. In Jeremiah chapter 2, 13, it says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug cisterns for themselves. Cisterns which are broken and which hold no water. The only water that they hold is stagnant and impure and unclean and unhealthy. And I believe we dig cisterns in wells that have no water, that give no satisfaction, which are stagnant and do not fulfill our Christian life, because we don't understand our identity of who we are in Christ. As Peter says in his text, as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall." They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people. Do you understand that? You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood who has access to God and to his presence, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light, because you understand who you are and who God is, and that you belong to him. And once you were not a people, once you were just scattered around, living your own lives, doing your own thing, doing what you wanted, breaking the laws of God and paying the consequences of them, and wondering why your life was falling apart and why your life was broken and why your life was decayed. And now you come before God and then you want to return to them. Why? When you've tasted that God is good and God is wonderful, why would you want to go back? When you've discovered that God has the words of life and truth, what do you have to return to? That now you're a precious possession of God, a royal priesthood, a holy nation raised up by him, and now you want to become something else? Because what? What do you want? Because you've dug your own wells that no longer satisfy you. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And when you receive the mercy of God, that changes who you are. It changes your identity. It changes your purpose. It changes your direction. It changes your life. It changes how you live life. It changes how you encounter life, how you encounter people, because you take God's mercy to people and say, "God has transformed me, and I am worthy to stand in the grace of God because I'm loved, and because of the sacrifice that Jesus has made, I am worthy." And so many times we tell ourselves we're not worthy. Who doesn't feel worthy? I don't feel worthy half the time. Do you feel worthy half the time? I don't. But God says these wonderful things to me and to you. You are a precious possession. I love you. I've given everything for you. Yet you dig your own wells. I've given you living water, but you drink stagnant and horrible water. God's asking, why? Do you not know who you are? And as the world tells us we're not worthy, there's a wonderful writer called Renee Brown, and she says, "The greatest challenge for most of us is believing that we are worthy now, right this minute. Worthiness doesn't have any standards. So many of us have knowingly created, unknowingly allowed, been handed down a long list of worthiness ideas of what it means to be worthy, passed down by our family, our culture, our society, by our friends, by our church, by people we know. And people say, I'll be worthy when I lose 2 stone. I know, I think I'll be worthy when I get rid of this belly fully. I've been trying so long, then I'll be worthy because I lose my belly. I feel worthy when I lose 2 stone. I'll be worthy if I stay sober. I'll be worthy if everything. I'll be worthy if everybody thinks I'm a good parent. I'll be worthy when I can do my job in an incredible and powerful way. I'll be worthy if I can hold my marriage together. I'll be worthy if when I get that promotion at work or make partner. I'll be worthy when my parents finally approve. I'll be worthy if he calls me back and asks me out. I'll be worthy when I can do it all and it looks like I'm not even trying. We are worthy of love and belonging now, right this minute, as we are, so that we can have a life-changing, living encounter with the God who loves us, who says, you are more than enough in Jesus Christ. You are chosen by God and precious to him. And Peter's passage talks about Jesus being the cornerstone. The cornerstone is the stone that the builders looked for. They found many stones, but they rejected them because they weren't good enough to be the cornerstone. And if the cornerstone wasn't right, the whole building wasn't right. And as you built the building up and the cornerstone wasn't the proper shape, the walls would just collapse in themselves. The house wouldn't be built properly. The building would just fall down. So the cornerstone had to be exactly right. If you didn't build on that cornerstone. In our lives, Jesus has to be the cornerstone. We build so many cornerstones in our life that define us, that shape us, that we build upon, be it fear, doubt, debt, grief, hurt, pain, rejection, unworthiness. There's so many things that we try to put in that cornerstone and we try to build our lives in it. But what happens? It collapses, doesn't it? Because it's not who we are. It's not who we're intended to be. But we try to still try to build on that foundation what we believe about ourselves. And Peter's saying, build on Jesus Christ. He is the cornerstone of your life. If you don't build in Jesus, then everything's going to collapse. It's going to go wrong. Jesus has to be the cornerstone, the foundation of the building that we build in our lives. And so many times we put different foundations here, different cornerstones. We don't make Jesus the priority in our life, our relationship with God the priority in our life. We wonder why everything goes wrong, why everything collapses. Well, it's not rocket science. You're a royal priesthood. When Peter was writing down a royal priesthood, you know what he was thinking about? He was thinking about back to Deuteronomy 19. And that was just before the people of God were gathered. It was just before the people of God received the Ten Commandments. And they were gathered round Mount Sinai. And God said, I'm bringing my presence down on Mount Sinai. And God's presence came down with thunder and lightning and clouds and noise and wonder. And it was an incredible experience. And the people saw the glory of God and they were terrified. And they were so terrified that they couldn't approach the presence of God. And Moses and Aaron, they entered into that presence of God. Then the priests who sanctified themselves, who purified themselves, could enter near the presence of God. But those who were unsanctified, those who were unprepared, they would die instantly because of the power of the presence of God. In God, at that moment, only saw a few people who entered into his presence, who could enter into his glory. And God says to the people, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of the nations you will be my treasured possession. Wow, the very beginning with the people of Israel said, if you obey my commands and follow my ways, you will be my treasured possession. All the earth is mine. You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. The God at that point, that God's desire at that point, as His thunder, as His lightning, as His presence and His glory came down in Mount Sinai, God's desire that all people could be in His presence, that all people could experience His glory, that all people could be a priesthood that could enter into His glory. Isn't that amazing? No? Am I boring you? Oh yeah, all this good stuff, yeah, we came. What about Bake Off? That? What happened in Bake Off? That's still on TV. It's the glory of God. And then Peter's recognizing that something happened in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ obeyed the laws and the commands of God. Jesus Christ fulfilled the covenant of God in Jesus Christ, tore the curtain in the temple that separated His presence from God. In Jesus Christ allowed us to enter into the presence of God as a royal priesthood, as His precious possession. And we stand in that glory now, and God is crying out, "You are my treasured possession. I want you to step into my presence. I want you to accept your identity, that I love you, that I have made a way to you through Jesus Christ. Will you step into that presence? Will you come into my glory? Will you obey my commands? Will you follow my will and come in to my glory? You are worthy for Jesus Christ." Peter says, "We are living stones. We're living stones that are being brought together to create a house of God, a holy building, a holy community." And he wasn't talking to individuals. It's easy for us to think, oh, I'm a living stone and I play my part in the kingdom, but over here, doing this or doing my thing or doing it my way. You know, he stops and says, "You are living stones being built into a temple of God in which God's presence will dwell," which says something quite significant. It says, not only does God give us the wonderful gift of pouring His Spirit into us individually, sealing us with salvation, pouring out His Holy Spirit with His gifts and His abilities, but He's making us into a people, a body, a temple, united together, and each living stone comes together to make up that dwelling place of God. And as we come as living stones and God pieces us together in this place, He's making us into a body. Do you understand that? We are a body. We are united. God has brought you here for a purpose. God has brought your gifts, your talents, your ability, who you are, whether you feel worthy or unworthy, whether you don't know what you're doing in God or what you are doing in God, whether you believe in God or not, God has brought you here for a purpose. You are a living stone in this church here in Littleover. You are a part of it. God is piecing every single one of us together into His dwelling place, into His temple, into His church, into this place. And He's forming us into something incredible. And as He brings us together as living stones, creating a temple, creating a community, creating a church, He gathers us together and He says, "I want to hear your praises. I want you to cry out to my glory. I want you to witness how amazing I am of the grace and love that I have given you, that I have brought you together as a people to worship me and to glorify me and to honor me. And as we praise, as we worship, as we build ourselves together into the thing that God wants us to be in this place, into the body that God wants us to be in this place, you are significant, you are worthy, you have a part to play, you are a living stone of the body of Christ in Little Over, within Little Over Methodist Church. And as we gather together and as we come together and understand the significance of what it means to be a body in this place, using our gifts, being filled by the Spirit, of serving, of loving, of blessing this community, of loving God, then God's going to do something significant and incredible and amazing. Because it says, when God hears the worship of his people, when God hears us cry out to him this morning, his desire is to come and inhabit those praises, to give us living water, to give us blessing, to give us anointing. That our one purpose and goal this morning, whatever may be on our minds, what circumstances we're going through, is to love God and to honour him and to worship him and say, Father, I'm worthy of you. Because of Jesus Christ. And you are worthy of my worship because you are God. You are God, not because of what you do for me. I give you, not because you heal me or heal my sickness or do what I ask you to do in prayer, but because you are God. And you are worthy. And I'll honor you for all that you have done for me, that you have given me life, that you have given me this opportunity to be to be part of this holy nation, to be a royal priesthood, to be a precious possession of yours, that you proclaim all these things over me, that that's my identity, that I'm loved and treasured, I'm a possession of yours and I belong to you. Do we understand that? We belong to God. That everyone else is just a consequence. We work to serve God. We live to serve God. We don't work to live. We work to release the resources to build the kingdom of God. We work to enable ourselves to be free to serve him, to witness to him, to love him. We don't relax as Christians. Who relaxes? Isn't that the worst thing ever? I'm just going to relax. And then what do you end up doing? You sit down in front of the TV, don't you, or something else, and you relax and you take all the rubbish in. As Christians, we're called to rest. What does rest mean? To rest in his presence. To be with him. We're called to recreation. To recreate, to be renewed in God. Not to pursue our own pleasures, but to pursue the call of God on our lives, that we are treasured and loved. So as we enter into time of communion, as you take the bread and you take the wine, God's saying to you, ready to be a living stone? Are you ready to be built into the temple and the people of God in this place? Are you ready to do something significant? Are you ready for the living waters that are going to come and flow in this place? Are you ready to unblock the wells, unblock the systems, pull your fingers out the dam and let the power and the love and the living waters of God flow in this place? Are you ready for that? At least three people are. That's good. Amen. Three's good. So we've got six next week and nine the following week. And then before you know, you'll all be kind of, yeah, I want that living water. That sounds like a good idea. He's got it. Why's he got it? I want it. I want that living water. I want that peace. I want that God's presence. Raise some holy jealousy. And as you come and you take that bread and the wine, you say, thank you, Father, that you have made me worthy through Jesus Christ, that I'm your precious possession. And Father, make me a living stone in this community here, in Little Over Methodist Church. Father, I'm tired of flirting with you. I'm tired of looking for something better out there. I'm ready to be attached to you. I'm ready to bind myself to you in this place and say, Father, this is where you brought me. You brought me here for a purpose, and I'm ready to serve you and be used by you and do your will in this place. I'm tired of digging wells that are empty of water. I'm tired of coming to church and it's dry and it's boring and I'm not getting in from it because your presence isn't there. I'm tired of looking for living water and only finding blockages and seaweed and rot and mud and nonsense. I want living water to boil up from the wells that I'm digging. That as we dig new wells in this place, as we seek the living water of God in this place, that that water flows and that we become tired of the stagnant water that we've been drinking year after year and after year. And we cry, give me living water. Who wants living water? I'm tired. Really, I'm tired, you know. I'm tired. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of not having enough God in my life. I'm tired of drinking the world's stinking water. I'm tired of not being enough, of not being worthy. I'm tired of not living daily in the presence of God, no matter what comes against me. I'm tired of not feeling loved enough. Because it's all lies. Because it tells us right there, I'm loved. I'm worthy. I'm precious. I'm beautiful. I'm wonderful in the sight of God. And you can think whatever you want. That's your issue. You need to ask God, do I need to dig new wells, God? What water have I been drinking in my life? If I become so used to just bitter and dry water or no water at all, God, what are you going to do? So as you come and take communion, I'm going to ask the band to come up first, and then if we could ask the people who are doing prayer to come up as well. And the people for prayer will be there for you. And as you come up and take communion, if you want to embrace that identity of God, if you want that sense of worthiness in your life, if you want somebody to pray over you and proclaim that you are a precious possession, that you are loved by God, there's people here who are ready to proclaim over you, to witness to you, to tell you who you are in Christ. And so come and receive that prayer. Come and be witness to that you are loved, that you are precious, that there's living water and abundance waiting for you to drink, that there are new wells to be dug, that there's hope in your life, that God has a plan and a purpose for you in this place, and that He's raising you up for His kingdom and to transform the world around you. So come and be prayed. Take that assignment. Your assignment is to be worthy and to live a life that is worthy of the grace and the love that God has poured into you. So come and be prayed for. So receive communion. If you want to go back to your seat, go back to your seat. Come be prayed for. If you don't want to come to the sides and be prayed for, ask for somebody to pray beside you, for you, or with you, or pray together. But just do it. Do something. You know, just do something. Don't do nothing. You've done nothing all your life. It's time to do something, isn't it? Give it a try. What have you got to lose? Taste and see that God is good. This is a difficult part now. I've got to get this cloth off after that sermon. This isn't easy, you know, really difficult. I need to get it set out so I can practice for a week. Oh no, I dripped it. There we go. Oh well, God is good. So we come, and Jesus has laid out this meal for us. And he says, you are precious. You are loved. You're God's precious possession. And he shared this meal as he was about to lay down his life, as he was about to fulfill that old covenant. That as he laid his life upon that cross, that unworthiness, that lack of love, that the blockages in our lives would be set free and that God's living water would flow. And as his side was pierced and that blood flowed out, so the living waters flow into us. And as we take of this bread and of this wine, that God pours his Spirit upon us and fills us and tells us we are worthy. And on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks to God for everything that he has done, for his goodness, and praised him. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body, given for you, that you might receive salvation, that you might understand who you are in God, that you may embrace your identity, that you are loved and valued because it cost me my life, that my blood was poured out for you, that you might be a child of God, not just any priesthood, but a royal priesthood, a child of God. And after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. This is the covenant that enables the Holy Spirit to come upon your life. This is the covenant that brings the kingdom of God into the world. This is the covenant that gifts you and resources you and enables you to walk in the power of the Spirit to bring healing and new life and releasing and to have living waters flow from this place. And as you drink this and as you receive it, that let his living waters flow for you and pour out of you into your families and into your community, and that you take this with you. And you do not leave it here. But you understand the cost. And as Jesus drank the cup of suffering, he says, Father, take this pain away from me. Take this suffering away from me, he said. But Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. And Father, as we drink this, let us say, not our will be done, Father, anymore, but your will be done. Even if this cup is a cup of suffering, we drink from it because, Father, we say, your will be done. And so we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So we share in this feast of Christ. If you love him, come and share in his love. But share that love with the world around you. In Jesus' name. Amen.